Welcome to my blog talk radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life balance coach, singer, songwriter, and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am happy to have Jimmy Keegan as my guest today. Woohoo! Join us for a conversation about music, inspiration, overcoming fears, and finding your unique voice. During the show, you'll also get to hear about the upcoming 3.2 tour and a song from a new album by Pattern Seeking Animals. Hello, Jimmy.
Hello. How are you?
I am happy and thankful.
Excellent.
I am so curious to hear all about you and how you ended up being part of the 3.2 tour, but also about this new album that just came out with Pattern Seeking Animals. So, but I think that maybe before we get into that, if you could give us, our listeners, just a very brief capsule of your past. I know it's in the show intro information, but if you could tell us a little bit about how you began living your music at age 10 years old and then kind of fast forward to now, that would be awesome.
Yeah. Well, I come from a big family. I'm the youngest of eight kids. You know, grew up in Southern California. I had great parents and great brothers and sisters that were constantly feeding me without even realizing they were feeding me. There was music in every room, and it was a very key element to family life. So when the bug hit me to play drums, with my brother playing a particular record. I had all the tools already at my hands and went immediately into, something tapped me on the shoulder and said, "You are a drummer." And I said, "Okay." And that was 10. I had all the music already in me, already around me, already going. My dad supported it. Well, both my parents supported it, but my dad in particular drove me anywhere I needed to go, helped me get my first few gigs by looking through the newspaper of all things. You remember that's that thing that's made out of paper with ink on it.
Yeah.
And
paper.
Yeah, one thing led to another. You're right. One thing led to another, and a series of fortunate events. And I was on a TV show. Then I was doing a play. Then I started a band. Then I played Disneyland, which led to doing sessions and tours and whatnot. And here, there, and everywhere. Now I've been on the road a handful of times and played on a handful of records. Up to and including a few multi-Grammy Award-winning albums, Diamond Award, selling records, and here we are.
And here we are, yeah. And one of those award-winning albums.
40 years in
Santana.
A nutshell.
Yeah. So
it was.
Right. For Santana, I love that album. Was the Smooth album, correct?
Right, yeah. Supernatural, and Smooth was on
Supernatural,
that
album.
But
the song Smooth.
I did not play on that song. It was a guy named Rodney Holmes, fantastic drummer. I played on a song called Primavera and a handful of others that made later releases. That's a classic example of friends, just being at the right place at the right time and having the right friends. I'm affiliated with the Baha'i faith. I am not a Baha'i, but I have numerous friends, almost family.
Mm-hmm.
And, I met one, met another, and met another. And before long, I was working with one and working with another. And a huge, huge aspect of my career is related to friends of mine that are members of the Baha'i faith. So the producer and writer of that song are that. And they pulled me in to do this session, including the bass player on the record at the time, Mike Picaro, who was bass player for Toto and countless other records. He was also a Baha'i. And, it's just that, the beauty of being friends and staying close to people and keeping positive relationships, and kaboom, a giant record.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And you've been so busy lately too. You're on your way to Las Vegas right now. And then did you say you're going to Europe next?
Yeah, I'll be in Romania next weekend. There's a huge dance and rhythm festival that goes on every year. And I've done it once before, and they invited me out to do it again, and it's just a really amazing thing. The whole community in the area gets involved. It's not just drummers and dancers coming out. I was very surprised to find that out. I thought I was doing a clinic for, you know, 50, 60 young drummers, and that is not what it is. It's a show, and 500-600 people from the town show up, and it's in the middle of a castle, and it's, yeah, it's fantastic. And the people there are just really beautiful, warm, friendly. And they put big posters of you on in the up in the city, but I didn't know they did that. And as I'm walking around the town, just, you know, spending a day seeing the town, everyone keeps walking by and looking like they know me from some, oh my God, it's that guy. And I'm thinking, I'm in the middle of Transylvania. Why would anybody know me here? And sure enough, I round the corner and there's a giant poster of me on the side of a building. I'm like, oh, that's why they're looking at me all funny.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. That's so funny. That would be so. That's what happened in one of the previous times, right?
Yeah, it was the last time I was there. So this time I'm a little more prepared.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna bring my own posters.
Oh, you're funny. I love the fact that you make me laugh. Well, so tell me a little bit about how this new album, Pattern Seeking Animals. I am so curious about. To hear more about that, because the idea of pattern-seeking animals, how did that come about? Is it a new band, or what's going on?
It's a new band consisting of old friends. John Begold is the producer, writer, and brainchild of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I know John because he is one of the primary songwriters for another band I was in called Spock's Beard. This is all progressive rock stuff, you know, complicated songs and long storylines and lots of vocals.
Right.
And he became one of the writers for that band when the original primary songwriter left to do other projects, which is also when I joined the band. I was not the original drummer of the band. I joined them to do touring work because the original drummer became the singer of the band. So very much in the sense of like Genesis and Phil Collins and all that, I became the touring guy. Later on, I would become the main drummer with the original drummer going off to do something else. I hit a point in that band where I felt my time had, you know, run its course. I said goodbye to the guys, you know, all lovingly, still great friends. I still work with the singer and the bass player in other projects.
Mm-hmm.
Out of nowhere, John called to do a session. It was supposed to just be a session, just a couple of tunes, and he was going to have other people on it, and it was going to be like a super group, all based around his writing, because he doesn't sing. We finished the first handful of tunes and went, this sounds really good, and decided to just leave it with this lineup. And it's Ted Leonard from Spock's Beard and also from a band called Enchant, which is a Bay Area band, and Dave Maros, the bass player from Spock's Beard, currently also the bass player for Iron Butterfly. And
wow.
John and myself, and we finished the whole album and kind of went, this is really good. We really like this, very proud of it, and decided we're going to call it a band. And we're in the process of booking dates and hopefully touring next year.
Wow.
So
Pattern Seeking Animals is the name of the band and the album, correct?
It is. And oddly enough, the phrase Pattern Seeking Animals is something John had always enjoyed, that concept of what it is and what it means. And it appears in a lyric in the previous Spock's Beard record, coincidentally. So subconsciously it was running around in his head. And unlike other bands, we didn't even choose the name. He chose the name. We just went, okay, that'll be good. But it's good because it's an interesting title, as well as it can be shortened to just PSA. And so
if we
don't have to think of a name, then we all go, yeah, that's fine.
Well,
no,
you know, it's funny. It's funny because, like you said, it once I saw Pattern Seeking Animals, it's like it got stuck in my mind, and I was thinking about it and about how animals that seek patterns, and actually humans kind of are animals that seek patterns as well.
We are absolutely that. With whether it's the subconscious finding of faces or things like that in you know, random arrangements like stars or you know, carpet. Music itself is all pattern-based. It can be, you can go outside of the pattern, but it usually requires a pattern as its foundation, whether it's the rhythmic phrasing or the chord progressions. Music has always been some kind of a pattern-based element. So it also is a great tie-in to just being a band in general.
Yeah, yeah,
and
definitely.
Yeah, it makes you think.
And then it was funny because I saw the album cover and it had the animals on it, and it, my husband and I just went to see the Lion King, the new Lion King movie, which we saw when
right.
our son was four, the original one. So I was so curious to see the new one with, excuse me, with the real animals. And it's funny because the song that I have queued up to play from the album is called "No One Ever Died and Made Me King."
It sounds like a pattern.
Yeah, but it was so funny because, you know, of course, in the Lion King movie, it's "I Can't Wait to Be King" is what Simba is singing, and
right, right.
Yeah. So it's funny. I've been noticing the patterns that happen in my life, and some of the things that happen like that, the coincidences. It's kind of fun looking at, wow, how did that bring that into my life? And then it just makes you more aware of them, I guess. But
yeah, it makes you wonder if there are, you know, are there actually coincidences? Maybe, maybe not.
Well, Wayne Dyer always loved to say that coincidences were actually perfectly aligned events and things that happen. And boy, it certainly seems like it's true.
The whole last 7 years of my life has been that. It's something where I could describe everything as a series of coincidences, and yet there's something about it, the whole weight of it all, that makes it feel much more like this was exactly as it was supposed to happen. There's no coincidence about it.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels that way. So
yeah, well,
yeah,
It's when you look back on life, kind of like Steve Jobs talked about, when you look back on life, you can see, oh, yeah, that's why I did that. One thing that didn't ever make any sense why I did it. Or, you know, it all makes sense, and it's all part of divine timing, I guess, too, as well. So,
yeah.
You know.
Well, and you get into subconscious thought and things that we are, you know, maybe in our subconscious we are thinking, I want to do that, I need to do that, or something inspired you a long time ago and you just never addressed it, but it's always been in the back of your head, and finally you start recognizing. It's sort of like when you buy a blue car and
Suddenly
you think, God, there's so many blue cars on the road. There are no more or less blue cars than there were before you bought the car. Just
exactly.
Now your mind is tuned into it, so now you recognize it and see it.
Yeah,
so,
I think that's called a scotoma,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Is that? I have no idea. That sounds...
I think so. Anyway,
like a good word to call it.
I'll have to check it out later and see if I had the right word. But anyway, the time is flying by, and I think could you tell us just a tiny bit about the song "No One Ever Died and Made Me King" first, and then I'll play the song, which is about 4 minutes, and then we can talk about that some more and then go on from there. How's that sound?
Yeah, well, this is more of a straight-ahead rock song. This band is not, you know, prog and progressive rock in general, it's very unusual to hear a straight-ahead 4-4 rock song. That's usually the whole bit, is that they try to stray away from the norms of pop music. And yet, here we are. This is a, you know, guitar, bass, drum-driven rock song, and no strange meter changes. And somehow it fits nicely within this whole record. It was something that we were concerned about. You know, is it going to fit the field of the genre and what our whole thing is? And it works nicely. I didn't write the lyrics. I've heard the lyrics. I've sang some of the lyrics. But in terms of, like, the inspiration for it all, I'm unfortunately not the person to ask about that. I have no idea where he got this from. But it's an interesting thought of... I enjoy it, in the interesting idea of owning your own condition and thoughts, and you know, making your life. Again, I didn't write it, so I wouldn't want to imply my thoughts on that. So
let's
I like more
to
that
it
everyone has
then,
their own.
Yeah, let's listen to it, and then we'll talk about it after the song.
All right.
No one ever died and made me king. Pattern-seeking animals. Wow. I really like that song, I have to say. I've been listening to it over and over again while preparing to do the show. And when you sent me the MP3 file for it, I started listening to it. And like I said, we had just seen The Lion King. So, of course, it had even a different meaning or more meaning to me because of that in a way. And then it's talking about the angels singing, and I like angels a lot. So, the combination really got me curious to know more about the song. But regardless of what it actually means, I just like hearing it.
Yeah, thanks. Well,
go ahead.
It sounds to me like a destiny song. I mean, that's how I've always kind of taken it, is that whoever this protagonist is, he's complaining because things aren't the way he believes they're supposed to be. And the reality is of it, he's not making it the way it's supposed to be. You know, I mean, it kind of comes back to what we were saying. You know, one of the topics we were going to discuss is, you know, who are we? You know, what is our purpose? What is our function? We so often get locked into 9-to-5 confines of, oh, I have to do this and oh, I have to do that. You know, and sometimes life dictates that sort of thing. But at the end of the day, if you still don't try to find ways to make things happen, or create things, you're going to forever be in that recycled pattern over and over and over again, and you'll never get out of it. And always wonder why, I'm smart or I'm beautiful or I'm talented, and it's not amounting to anything. But the real question at the end of the day is, you know, no one promised you anything. There's no rule that says this has to happen. You have to go do it. You have
exactly to
go be in that place to make that thing happen. You have to talk to the people that can connect you to, you know, whatever the situation is. You know, in the music industry, it's a matter of going out to the venues where the artists are and shaking hands and being present and being a positive light to them. You know, wow, you sound amazing, really inspiring. Thanks for the great music. And just showing up and without being, you know, that fine line between being around and not being annoying. But if you don't do that, then how's anyone going to meet you? How are you going to move yourself along? And, you know, you can push that out into any other world where, you know, whatever you choose to be, you have to put yourself in it. You have to submerge yourself in it and become what it is you want. Not just in the idea of I go to work every day.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad asked me a question very key, because I was a single dad, and you know, my daughter was born when I was fairly young, and it became this challenge to just keep my head above water. So I kept finding myself trying to get jobs just to keep money going, and you know, that were outside of the music industry. My dad finally said, "Okay, hold on a second. What are you?" And I looked at him puzzled, like, "Well, I'm a guy." He goes, "No, what are you?" And I said, "Well, I'm a drummer." And he said, "On the grand scheme of things, what are you?" And I said, "I'm an artist." And he says, "When are you going to start acting like one?"
Oh.
And I haven't had a job since.
You mean you haven't had a 9-to-5
a
job?
A 9-to-5 type job. I've been a musician and an artist ever since. And I just don't even think about the concept of getting a outside job. I keep pushing to find more work and find more so inspiring work that
right.
challenges me and pushes me to be better. And not necessarily there, you know, there's some people think, oh, you have to be technically better and you have to have this detailed knowledge of things. No, as an artist, it's also about the experience of how to communicate what's in your heart, take whatever inspired you and spin it around and give it back in a new way to somebody else, and maybe touch them in a fashion to push them and make them go. So yeah, that was a key thing to have my dad ask such a simple question. And yet, how many times do we ask ourselves that? You know, what am I? Not who am I? What am I? Beyond.
I love that. I love that.
Man,
that is
woman.
So cool.
And it can include things like, you can say, oh, I'm a husband. Oh, I'm a wife. Oh, I'm a grandparent. Those are all aspects of it as well. But when you're getting to the root of where are you going as a person?
Mm-hmm.
What are you? What are you doing? And if you are not doing that thing, if you describe yourself as a writer, or you describe yourself as a physicist, did you go to school to study physics? Okay, if not, then what are you waiting for? And if you're letting age be a confinement, stop it.
Just
stop it.
Too young or too old or too this or too that. Yeah.
It's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. And it doesn't matter. I mean, obviously you're not going to be a pro football player at 70 years old, but that doesn't mean you can't get involved in the sport.
Right.
You can't do something within the sport that interests you and thrills you and makes you want to wake up in the morning and makes you hate going to bed. So
I love the way you put that. I really wish we had more time. You know, we've only got about 5 more minutes, though, and I know that the 3.2 fans and Robert Berry fans are going to be listening to this show, and they were wanting me to interview you, and so that was how I ended up asking you to be on the show.
Right, and so we haven't even gotten to it yet.
No, we haven't even gotten there yet. So during this last 5 minutes, let's talk a little bit about the tour and 3.2 and how that happened.
Well, this is another case of friends, you know, bringing in friends and being at the right place at the right time, and you know, letting, you know, somewhat of a reputation speak for yourself. Andrew Collier is the keyboard player, and he had been working with Robert on this project. When the concept of a drummer came up, we had come across each other here and there on a few different things. I believe we did a gig together with one of his bands.
Mm-hmm.
And so they needed a drummer that could sing. Well, I happen to be a singer.
Mm-hmm.
And there aren't a lot of drummers that sing that are actual singers. They'll do background vocals and everything. So my name came up. We talked, and it sounded like a great project. It's music from all over different concepts of Robert's career, both in his work with Keith Emerson and his work with these tribute albums that he's done. So it's just a mishmash of all these interesting, fascinating things. As a drummer, I'm you know, working. I've got this list of drummers that I have to sort of emulate. So my work is cut out for me. Yeah, now that we're getting closer to the dates of the tour, I'm getting a lot more excited about the songs and playing all this music and getting to know a new batch of guys. My circle of musicians has become this tight little thing. So when I get the advantage of going out and actually making new friends and experiencing new voices, it's always a big deal for me. So,
well,
yeah, we start up rehearsals in about a month.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to do some dates here on the West Coast. And then a bunch more dates over on the East Coast and Midwest. And then other stuff is being booked all the time. It's an ongoing process.
Now, people can find out more about you at your website, jimmykeegan.com. And
right.
They can also find out more about 3.2 at robertberry.com as well. So,
right.
Yeah, well, we're looking forward to seeing you guys live, hopefully in the Redwood City event up here. And,
yeah, I'm looking forward to that as well.
Yeah,
I know
I'm looking forward to meeting you.
Playing. Yeah, these dates that we're doing here on the West Coast, I'm familiar with them all, and I like all of them. I'm kind of like, oh, yeah, that'll be great. That's going to be a good gig. Just because the people in the area are great and the venues are great, and, yeah, it's going to be great music and a really great band, and it's going
to
be exciting.
Well, I don't know Andrew as well as I know Robert and Paul, but I've known Robert and Paul since I was in college, and they are just some of the most positive and talented people I've ever met when it comes to music.
I'm
but positive
that.
Also.
Yeah.
And fun. And Andrew was on my show before, and we had a great conversation, and he's also super positive. So,
yeah.
I can't wait. I can't wait to see you guys perform live looking really forward to that. So,
yeah, I need it. I haven't done a tour in quite a while. I've been home in the studio doing a lot of stuff. I'm also doing a solo album as well that's been going on for about six, seven years.
Oh, wow.
But it's close to being done, so that's also on the horizon. And, yeah, so playing live is going to be great. I'm looking forward to it.
It'll be fun. We've got about a minute left, and then we're going to get cut off. So What's one last thing you want to say to the audience about living your music?
Don't quit. If it's in your heart and you truly believe it, do it. Stop talking about it. Do it. It's great to tell your friends and family how I can't wait to do this. Well, stop waiting. Go do it.
Oh, I love
that.
That's
about it.
Yep. Live your music, everyone. Whatever that music is, it makes you feel more alive. It makes you feel more alive, and it adds to the joy in the world. So,
yeah. It make your whole. It's not just you that'll be happy. Everyone around you will be happy because they'll feed off of it, and
exactly.
It will inspire them as well. And you never know who you're inspiring in the process.
I
especially
love
if you're
that.
Doing
That's
something
so
you
true.
Think is just. Oh, I'm just in my world, and this is a very selfish thing to do. Well, you know, there are some things that we do in the world that may seem selfish, but the fact that you are doing it to other people can be, that's so awesome. I'm so glad to do it. You know what? I'm going to do it.
Mm.
So, yeah, just stop talking. Start doing.
Just do it. Yeah, that's a great way to end it. Thank you so much for being on my show, taking the time out, and I really appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to seeing the live show.
Thank you for having me.
Bye for now. Bye for now, Jimmy. Bye for now, everyone. Live your music.
Take care. Yes.
Woohoo. Bye.